Man, good singing tonight. All right, take your Bibles and turn. We've got two texts I want you to turn to. Actually, our text is in Exodus chapter 19. We're just going to look at Psalm 126 to begin. But Exodus chapter 19 is where we're going to spend our time tonight. And so if you'd turn over to both of those passages, we'll read the Word of God together and trust that the Lord will encourage our hearts tonight with His Word. And open up your heart to what the Lord would have for you tonight, all right? Psalm 126 in verse 3, the Bible says, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." This is in context, certainly here. This is with the nation of Israel. The verse 1 says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." This truth could be said of saints of God today. The Lord truly hath done great things for you and for me. And we need to honor Him. We need to worship Him. We need to praise Him for it. And if we just take a few minutes to think on the blessings of God and where we would be without the Lord tonight, think of how the Lord has prospered you in your life. And you know, the Lord loves us even when we're unlovable. The Lord has done great things, and we ought to rejoice. We ought to be glad for the things that the Lord does for us. And if we stop to really think about it, there's nobody who is self-made. There's nobody who can claim glory or who can claim credit for the things in their life. Without God and His blessings, without life, without strength, without the ability to see and to hear and to walk. And I mean, without those things, God, those are blessings from the Lord that enable us or cause us or allow us even to pursue after the pursuits of life, to work a job, to gain anything. There's nobody that's self-made. And then we go beyond the physical to the spiritual. See, the Lord has saved our soul. Lord has done great things for us. And all I'm saying tonight is the work of God is great in our hearts, in our life. We're beneficiaries of being called children of God. And you know, the Lord blessed the nation of Israel, but the Lord said to them, "I have blessed you, but along with those blessings come some responsibilities." Turn over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. We're going to talk about the great work of God tonight. And we see it demonstrated in the life of the nation of Israel. We can make lots of applications for the Christian life from the things that happened to the nation of Israel. And Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3. "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." So God gives Moses some instruction. Here's what I want you to say. Verse 4. "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And God is giving Moses instruction here. This is what I want you to say. I want you to remind the nation of Israel of all the blessings that I have blessed them with, the deliverance that I gave them from the nation of Israel, and how I provided for them and protected them, and how I've done these things for them. And beyond that, if they'll do this more, there's so many more blessings that I have in store for them. And that was God's instruction, to remind the Israelites of that great deliverance that He had wrought for them. And then not only that, but their obligation to him because of his great deliverance. And in this day and age, you know, we frequently need that same reminder. The Lord has done great things for us. But with those great things also come responsibilities. I want to draw some parallels tonight between the nation of Israel, how God dealt with them, and also the Christian life today. And I want us to look again at what the Lord has done for us. Think of our privileges and also our responsibilities. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this short time that we have here tonight, would you encourage and remind the saints of God, would you, Father, do a mighty work in us to draw us closer to you, Father, to refine us, that we might be vessels that can be used of God to bring glory to your name. Bless your word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want you to note with me, we're talking about the great work of God and in making some parallels for our own life. And the first thing that we see, the first great work of God that we note in this text is that the power of the enemy was broken. The power of the enemy was broken. Verse 4, God said, "You tell the nation of Israel this, Moses, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Here he's showing them, listen, the blessing that is for you, that you need to be reminded of, is that the power of the enemy was broken for you. They were overthrown. The nation, the Egyptians, they had enslaved the nation of Israel. Israel was in bondage to the Egyptians, and God delivered them from the power of that enemy. And then as they chased them out into the wilderness, God overthrew them in the Red Sea so that they would bother the Egyptians no more, or the Israelites no more. Think of this. They could have been hounded. They could have been plagued, they could have been, you know, frustrated and slaughtered by the Egyptians if God had not done what he did, and he did it very well, by the way, so that the Egyptians would bother the nation of Israel no more. I would think that Israel would be grateful to God. Amen. For his deliverance, the bondage that they were in, the slavery that they were in, the fact that God fought for them and gave them total victory when they didn't have to do a thing. But you know what? In the Bible, Egypt is a type of the world. And we find, listen, we find that we have a blessing from God too, and that the power of the enemy has been broken. Egypt is a type of the world, and we find that through Christ, listen, the power of the world, the power of the flesh, the power of the devil, all of those things are overthrown for us in Jesus Christ. The power of the enemy has been broken. If we're in Christ, we've been set free from the power and the bondage of sin. Amen. Can you say amen to that tonight? This is a great blessing from God, my friends, that the power of the enemy of your flesh and sin and the devil is overthrown for you. It's a great work of God. Why then do we struggle and become enslaved and ensnared to sin again? There's no reason for it. In Christ, the victory has been won, and we are no longer enslaved and in bondage to our sin. The truth of the matter is, if we find ourselves struggling, if we find ourselves ensnared, enslaved by some sin, the truth of the matter is because we are going there of our own accord. Look in Romans chapter 6. You can just keep your place here. Romans chapter 6. Verse 10 says this, look, and following. "For in that he died, he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. What's the very next word? Likewise. All right? So now the application is coming back to you and me. All right? So here's Christ who died unto sin once. Now he's saying, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The very next verse, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What is the comparison here? Christ died unto sin once. Likewise, as a saint of God, if you're in Christ, reckon yourselves dead to sin. How many times? It only takes once. It only takes once. How many times did Christ have to die? Only once. He didn't die over and over and over and over and over again. Listen, what I'm saying and what the scriptures teach us is that through the power of Christ, sin has been completely overthrown and overruled through the power of Christ. The same can be said and can be true in the Christian life. If we are struggling or being enslaved or ensnared to sin again, it's not because the power of Christ is not sufficient. It's because we're going there. We're choosing to yield ourselves, our members, as instruments of unrighteousness. The key is to yield to God. And in yielding to the Lord, there can be complete victory over sin in life. Does that mean that we'll never ever sin again? No, that's not what I'm saying. But there's no reason for us to struggle. There's no reason for us to be ensnared or enslaved again. There's no reason to be defeated with sin in the Christian life if we're yielding ourselves to righteousness and claiming the power of Christ, because we are made free. The power of the enemy has been broken. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph through Christ. That's a great work of God that we ought to praise him for. Have you thanked him for it today? And there's no need for us to be saying, man, I just can't get victory. Why do I always struggle with this thing? And why is it such a problem in my life? Listen, there's no need to be saying, man, I can't get victory over this thing. The victory's already been won in Christ. It's a matter of who you're yielding to. It's a matter of who you're yielding to. The power of the enemy is broken. The second thing, if you go back to our text, and praise the Lord for salvation, amen? Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit of God and power through Christ. Man, I don't know if you've ever had times like these. I know I sure have. But temptation would come along in life, and maybe the Spirit of God is there saying, don't go there, don't go there. But you end up going there, and you put up very little, if no fight at all, and you end up sinning. Have you ever experienced that? And later on, it's like, you know, it never brings the satisfaction that it promises it will. And you feel bad, and you feel inside like, what in the world? Why am I so weak? Why can't I just put up a fight? Well, it's because we're working in the power of the flesh and not the power of the Spirit, and we're choosing to yield to the will of the flesh and not yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. It's a matter of who you yield your members to. Because victory is there in the power of Christ. I know at times like that in my Christian life, I can feel like a failure. And I am a failure in my flesh. But I realize again, if I'm failing, it's because I'm not yielding to the Spirit of God, and I'm not claiming the power of Christ. I'm not even putting up a fight. because the flesh is what's controlling. Well, we don't have to live that way, is what I'm saying. What the Word of God is saying. We're more than conquerors through Christ, through Him that loved us. The power of the enemy is broken. We see, secondly, though, in verse 4, the purpose of this great work of God. So God said, Moses, you go tell the nation of Israel, you remind them, you saw what I did to the Egyptians. I broke them. And how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Here we see the purpose of this great work of God. God's purpose in delivering the nation of Israel was not just for their pleasure and their benefit. It was to bring them to Himself for a particular reason. This is great. If you think Bible truth is great, then you should find pleasure in this as well. You know, God's purpose in saving your soul was not for your pleasure. We benefit, certainly, but it's not for our pleasure. He saves our soul for a very particular reason, to bring us unto Himself for His pleasure and His glory. This life that we have is not our own. And yet so much of the time and so many people live as if it is. Like, this time is mine, this day is mine, this life is mine. It's not ours to do with whatever we please to do. God delivered the nation of Israel to bring them unto Himself. What does this tell us? Well, it tells us, it gives us a little insight into the heart of God. What He thinks, what His desires are. He had desired to be their God. He had desired for them to be His people. He desired to bless them and to make them great for His glory. He desired to have this close relationship with His people, to make them a peculiar people, that means special, and to set them apart from all other nations so that all other nations would know that He is God. He did all of that for them. Why? Because they were special people in and of themselves? No. He did that because He loved them with an everlasting love, and He desired to glorify Himself through them. Make the application. What a great parallel here for the saints of God. You know what the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 18? That Christ gave Himself for us that He might what? That He might bring us to God. He gave Himself that He might bring us to God. What a tremendous revelation of the heart of God here. That God, the God of all eternity, the God of creation, the God of this universe, the God of all power and all might, that He is a gracious God who has a heart that longs to have you for Himself. I don't see it, to be honest. Why would He do that? Why would He long to have me for His possession, for Himself? He longs to do that so that He might bless us with Himself, to bring us to God. God desires to have a close relationship with each one of His children. He desires to bless your life with all spiritual blessings. He states in verse 5 here of this chapter that He would make them a peculiar treasure unto Himself. I did a little bit of looking up of those words. And that word peculiar, it means special, but it carries with it something of great value. like a precious gem, a precious jewel, something that is priceless. That's what it carries with it. And God desires to make you and me a special, something of tremendous and immense value unto Himself. Think of this. The Lord has chosen you and me to be a special people unto Himself. A people that are set apart from this world. A people that are set apart for purity. For good works. For godly character and action. That the world might know that He is God. Do you grasp this concept, this truth, that God has a special purpose for your life? And it's not just to give you all of the wants and the wishes and to make you joyful and happy. No, His purpose is to set you apart and to set me apart and to sanctify us. And we're something of precious value in His sight to set us apart for purity and for good works and godly character, to be a light and a testimony of the character of God to this world. Are you living your life that way? With this in mind, of God's your value to God and how valuable you are to Him for the particular purpose of glorifying Him. Look in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. These kinds of truths, I guess I can't express them in words the way that they impact my heart when I sit and meditate and think and dwell on this glorious truth and God's purpose. And I've had time to sit and think and meditate, and it just impacts my soul. And I can't convey that truth the same way, but the Word of God can, and the Spirit of God can in your own heart. God's purpose for you and for me is tremendous and amazing, and it has nothing to do with my pleasure. Now, the reality of it is, when we're yielded to God, and God is accomplishing His will and His purpose in our life, and we're being transformed, guess what? We end up experiencing blessing and pleasure from it. We're beneficiaries of God's grace and God's mercy. But that's not His primary concern. Look in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So what is God's purpose for us? To deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lusts, to live soberly, to live righteously, to live godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Paul is writing and he's telling Titus, these are the things that you need to teach and preach. That God has a purpose for your life. And it's that you live soberly. You live righteously. You live godly in this world. And you understand that God has redeemed you. And that He wants to purify you. And to make you special for His glory. Zealous of good works. I don't see anything in there about pursuing after things that are only of temporal value and earthly value, that are going to bring me pleasure in this life. Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 9. Writing to the saints of God, Peter says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is our purpose? To show forth the praises of him who saved you, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, what I'm saying is, this is not just some theoretical thing. It'll show itself in the way that you live if you're embracing and understanding this truth. Is your life changing since you came to know Christ? Is your life changing? Are you embracing and applying God's truth in your life? Are you ever drawing closer to the Lord? Are you closer to the Lord today than you were yesterday or than you were last year? Those are manifestations of God accomplishing his purpose, making you something special, a peculiar people, purifying you unto himself. This is the heart of our great God. Why would he desire that of me? Why would he desire that of you? Listen, I say, and I understand, at least to as much as I can, and I ask the Lord to help me understand this more, that it is such a privilege to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Not for my benefit, but so that he can bring glory to himself through my life. It is such a privilege. Listen, we dare not snub our nose at this loving God by having a rebellious spirit. When the Lord tries to work in our lives, we dare not snub our nose at God for the blessings that he's given to us. God is trying to transform each and every one of us, and a rebellious spirit denies the Lord and pushes him away when we don't submit to him. The gospel, you know, that has transformed your life, it must also transform your living. Amen? The power of the gospel that has set you free must also transform the way that you and I live. Is it changing? More and more refined, more and more toward pleasing of the Lord. More and more like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came that we might have life, but that we might also have it more abundantly. He wants to give us that blessed life, but it's only found as we yield ourselves to him. But along with those blessings that we've been saved, that we're beneficiaries of God's grace, along with those blessings also come some conditions. And also come responsibilities, just like the nation of Israel. We find that. Go back to our text here. This is the last thing we'll look at tonight. God wants to bless the life, but there are conditions for that blessed life. We're already beneficiaries of God's grace, but he wants to go beyond that, and he will go beyond that, but he says, here's the condition. If you want to experience more of myself and more blessing that I have in store, there's a condition. Verse 5, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. What's the condition here? If you obey the voice of the Lord, then you're going to be a peculiar people unto me. The condition of the blessed life is obedience to the word of God. After we've been made nigh to God through salvation, listen, there are conditions by which this life of fellowship, this life of nearness, this life of blessing needs to be maintained and continued. And that's through obedience to his word. He says here in verse 5, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. That was the condition for the nation of Israel, but it's the same condition for you and for me. There's a whole life of spiritual blessing yet to be had, but it only comes through obedience to the Word of God. We can't live our life to our own accord and live our life as we please and experience the blessing of God. People are frustrated over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because they're trying to live their life for themselves. They're leaning on their own understanding, making their own decisions, not yielding to the will of God and being obedient to the Word of God. How do we hear God's voice? Well, we hear God's voice continually through His Word. Amen? He has spoken to us through His Word. It's not just a mere sound that we obey, but it's the voice of God. It's a living, personal voice. Listen, my friend, can you hear the voice of God as His child? Do you hear it? Can you hear the Holy Spirit? Oh, this is powerful. When you think about it, can you hear the Holy Spirit conveying the very thoughts and the mind of God concerning you? God has a particular purpose out of your life to glorify Himself through your life. How do we come to those conclusions and know what that is? Through obedience to the Word of God and listening to the Spirit of God as He directs our steps, and our choices are controlled, you know, by the Spirit of God, and it leads us on a path that leads us through the will of God and to the blessing of God. But when we take our own course, we miss out on all that the Lord wants to do to bless you, but to glorify Himself. How do we come to those conclusions? Listen, it's by this book having real relevance in our day-to-day living. So often people are like, well, I believe God and I believe the Bible and I'm obedient to it, but I'm also listening to my own voice and obedient to my own will. And they try to mix the two together. But that's never going to lead us in the path of righteousness, in the path that God wants. This book, listen, has to be, the truths of this book need to be relevant in how I live every single day and the choices I make and the things that I allow into my life and what I shape and pattern my life after and how I think. Listen, it all needs to be transformed by the power of this book, the truth and the principles of this book. I can't say it enough. Every day, every day, every day, you need to feed on this Word. And it needs to transform your life. Every single day. And it needs to be in the heart, my friend. It needs to be in the heart that my greatest desire above everything else is to be obedient to God and to please God. Lord, direct my thinking today. Give me Your wisdom today. Give me Your power today. Control me today so that my flesh does not. I want to be led by Your Spirit. I want to be directed by Your hand. I want to be directed by my responses, you know, to other people. I want it to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Is that how you live? I wish I could see into your heart. I can't. I can't see into your mind, even as we sit here tonight, what you're thinking about, you know, and where you're at. That's not my business. That's between you and the Lord. But I do know this. Without this book being relevant in day-to-day life, heeding and obeying the Word of God, searching it so that I can pattern my life after it, without that, we'll never find that peace and that blessing that God has in store for us. It boils down to this, basically. Is being faithful to God priority number one in your life? Is being faithful to God priority number one in your life? Examine your own heart. The truth is, we have a gracious and a loving God. And what a privilege is ours to be called His children. What a privilege to experience the blessings of salvation. Oh, let it impact your life. Think on it, meditate on it, dwell on it. But then remember and realize that with those privileges also comes some responsibility on our part. Let's have it in our heart, above everything else, to be obedient to God and then live like it. Amen? And then we'll experience the blessing, the abundant Christian life that God intends for His people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to grasp this to a greater degree. I think we give head knowledge and mental assent to a lot of Bible truth, but we don't let it sink in and really impact the way we live and the way that we think. Lord, let us not be cultural Christians or Christians who know the right things to say. But Father, let us have heart transformation. And may the love of God for us and the blessings of God and the will of God for our own life, let it grip our soul and impact the way that we live. Help us to love You more than anything else. Lord, I pray that You bless Your people and bless Your church. And Father, transform us into the image of Christ. Use us to bring glory to Your name. May that be the greatest desire of our soul. To please You, to love You, to glorify You. Thank You for how You love us with that everlasting love. And the abundant blessings that You bestow upon us. May we be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.